Welcome to the International Song Contest. Yes, it's time to decide once more the song that will bring fame to the country of its origin. And first, here is the song from Germany. Next comes the Italian entry.
Minestrone, minestrone, you cannot beat it. I always eat it, but never on a Monday.
And now, the British song.
When I'm low, 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 I get high, high, high. And we have a ball, my true love and I, always.
And there we must leave. There we must leave the International Song Contest.
That was an excerpt from Tunes of Glory. The last in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Thorkell Marley Pride and the Villiers Flambeaudet with their musical milk bottles, Peters and Chalfont, the Glyndebourne All Stars, Kenneth Williams.
I know her. She's. Oh, that's me.
Well, it makes a change. To continue, Nesta Robbins. The Caliph of Chichester, and of course it's Kenneth Horne who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. And as this is the last program in the present series, I feel we should pay tribute to those behind the scenes, from the man who takes the tickets right down to the head of variety. For instance, now, there's our very efficient team of sound effect men who, whenever we've asked for, always give us a... Mind you, one of these chaps is rather sensitive, and if he thought I was being critical, he might just possibly... Oh, he has. Well, we'll go through his effects later. And now a word about our sound engineer who sits there turning the knobs on a complicated control panel. He's a nice chap. Always wishes us good luck. So, Ron, the same to you with knobs on. Now, during the course of this series, we've had many, many letters from our listeners. Some technically minded people have been interested in the work that goes on in getting a show like this on the air. Now, a typical letter reads, "How on earth does a show like yours ever get on radio?" However, one particular listener wrote to us the other week asking if anything was ever cut out of Beyond Our Ken. Well, I'm afraid the answer to that is yes. Over the past weeks, there have been several bits which were not broadcast. So we thought you'd like to hear them now.
Here then is a medley of cuts from Beyond Our Ken. Program was projected by Juice Brown.
You speak and I hear violins. It's magic.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken. The show has been compared with Lady Chatterley. Of course, as one listener put it, it's the Hornet. Oh, sorry, I turned over three pages.
Far away from the microphone.
Oh! Oh, William, stop that, please.
Well, there you are. That's what you missed. But now we come to some listeners' letters that are different.
These are genuine.
Yes, well, quite a few people seem to have remembered a show business feature we did some time ago and have asked us to do a new edition of it.
So stand by for the second issue of our glossy theatrical magazine of the air.
And on stage, please,
Calling London across the footlights. Showtime. Yes, once again, from the world of the stage, we bring you a world of entertainment. The bright, shining stars of the theater who go to make up the glittering, glamorous, exciting business of show business. Yes, the spotlight swings across.
I'll get on with it.
Must be Albert Finney.
Yes, the spotlight swings across the stage and brings into focus the best in entertainment just for you. And here is your compere, a man who certainly needs no introduction.
Then don't bother to give me one. How do you do? How do you do, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. Now, the theater itself offers a wide variety these days. One art form gaining considerable popularity is the one-man show. Recitals of the works of Dickens and Oscar Wilde, for instance. And tonight, we marched along one very well-known actor who has specialized in this sphere. Mr. Fred Lawton.
Thank you, my dear chap. I'm delighted to be with you.
Yes, we're delighted to have you.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Charming.
Tell us, are these rather highbrow verse readings of yours well received?
Rapturously. I think I can safely say the beauty of English prose, well read, brings many a tear to the audience.
Go on then, Fatty, make us cry.
Who said that? You thought I had a cast of just an open boat without food or water.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes,
thank you, sir. I wonder if we could prevail upon you to read something for us now.
I'd be delighted. Where's my book, stand and glasses?
They're right here.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the history of English verse has been long and glorious. I should like to read you first one of my own particular favorites. May I have absolute quiet, please? Thank you. There was a young lady called Nellie who was tattooed all
yes,
over.
Thank you very
much. I haven't finished yet.
Well, I'm sorry, that's all we can allow.
So it's mutiny on the BBC, is it?
Good night.
I'll have to see you hanging from the highest yard arm in the British Navy. I won't be treated like this. Oh,
and now, fabulous songs from the fabulous shows. Yes, from a fabulous show comes a fabulous song. It's the fabulous Lover, and here to sing it is the fabulous Janet Waters. show business guest is a young man by the name of Linnell Burke, whose fantastic success in the musical world hasn't changed him a bit. He's still a simple lad from the East End.
So, you want to know which of my four cars I came in?
Well, good evening, Mr. Burke. Good evening, sir. Let's talk about your wonderful show, Nicky, based on Nicholas Nickleby. Anyway. Now, it's set for a long run, and I understand Hollywood has bid for the film rights.
Yes, that's true, but I turned it down.
Well, why?
Well, they wanted to make it into a musical.
Hmm. Have you any special ambitions?
Oh, yes. I'd like to have a go at rewriting some of the Shakespeare stuff, so it'll always be remembered, you know. I've got a few ideas, all right, already, such as Midsummer Night's Kip, Macbeth the Knife, and Merry Chicks of Windsor.
And what about your immediate plan?
Well, my next musical is Gulliver. That's Gulliver's Travels, you know.
Oh, I see. You're deserting Dickens there.
Oh, no, of course not. You made quite a good job of that story of my show. It's just that I haven't been able to get in touch with him.
Mr. Burt, Charles Dickens is dead.
No. When did it happen?
1870.
Oh, that's show business.
And thank you for coming along, Linnell Burke. Well, the passing years in the theatre have certainly seen some changes. In fact, there's been quite a heated controversy recently between the old school of Noel Coward-type drawing room plays and the new school of realistic kitchen sink dramas. In our opinion, both schools have respective merits, and it is perhaps an argument that should be settled by compromise. Is there not room for the two, side by side? We present A Taste of Bittersweet. The scene is a shabby room where three human beings are living in squalor, which is just outside Salford.
Oh, shut up. Them ruddy trains drive me mad. You don't seem to mind them, Mr. Donald.
Well, you know, I got some swim tea. After all, I've been a lodger here for some time now, haven't I? I've finished with the kitchen sink. I want a bath.
Righto. Just above the frying pan. Put it onto the bed. Oh, Lord, now, there's Darcy. I haven't ironed his new silk dressing gown yet.
Oh, never mind. You'd better get on with that little game of hide and seek you play every night.
I thought of a good new place to hide.
Amanda, where are you? You're not hanging out of the window again, are you? Amanda, I'm there, I'll tell you.
I'm up here on the chandelier. I'll get down.
No, don't move. Let me picture you just as you are, with the light shining in your eyes.
I'm coming down. Ooh,
right on gathering. Ooh, my ruddy foot trot.
Dance, 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 little lady. Dance, yeah. Oh, hello, Mr. Donald. Are you terribly well?
Don't warm me long. I'm warming up that kipper for last Monday's breakfast.
Oh, so we're dining in tonight. Good. I light the candles on the table.
Funny things, candles, I always think. Eskimos eat them, you know.
How dreadfully disgusting.
Here's a nice cup of tea.
Thank God. Oh, Amanda. Come over here, Amanda, and sit beside me on the dustbin. Amanda, you're more lovely than ever.
Well, give over. Go on, give over. Not in front of Mr. Donald.
Well, go on now. I don't mind. It's better than watching telly.
Amanda, can't we ever have private lives? Amanda, your sweet, tender fragrance fills my life with joy. Those delicate lips were fashioned in rubies from the temples of love.
Oh, I think I've been bitten.
This is getting jolly exciting.
Amanda, my arm.
Here, where are we going?
There is a magical moment awaiting us both. Come, let us go out onto the balcony.
There's no balcony here, you ruddy fool.
to our resident songsters, ladies and gentlemen, the Hornets.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
The old church bells will peal with joy, hurrah,
hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
Welcome home, my darling boy, hurrah,
hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
The village lads and lassies with songs to say, with songs away, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
Get ready for the jubilee, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. We'll be a hero three times three, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
All the laurel wreath is ready now to place on top of his royal brow. And we'll all feel it's a great big deal when Johnny comes marching home to be me. Let love and friendship on that day, hurrah, 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 their choicest treasures and display, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. Let each one perform his part to fill with joy the warrior's heart. And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
When Johnny comes marching home.
When Johnny comes marching home.
And so does the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on history. What were the most significant dates in English history?
1066, the Battle of Hastings. 1215, the signing of the Magna Carta. Or 1958, the start of Beyond Our Ken. Well, now, this is a somewhat unusual Hornorama this week. It's not so much a factual report as a rather fanciful one.
We wondered what would be the result if it was possible to actually interview or listen to some of the great historical figures.
So first, let's have a word with that wicked old tyrant, King John Birkinshaw. Now, you were a bit of a devil, I believe.
That is so, yes. They said I was the worst king in history. A ruthless, vicious swine. A real oppressor, you might say. But, alas, I was forced to sign a Magna Carta by the barons whose castles and lands I had snatched with violence.
A setback to your career.
Less than a lap, yes. But there was even more disastrous occurrences. There'd been incidents of unrest in the north, and I was forced to take steps by addressing the citizens of Norwich. Oh, it was exhausting. My speech lasted 6 hours.
And what happened?
My belongings got lost in the wash.
Oh, thank you, King John. Now I know what they meant by one of the worst reigns in history. Now here's another very famous gentleman. Your name, sir?
Christopher Columbus.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, sir, of all your voyages, I think the one you are undoubtedly remembered by is your discovery of America. Now, would you care to comment on that?
Yes. Well, we all make mistakes.
Well, now we're privileged indeed to meet one of the most remarkable old characters of all time, Rip Van Winkle. Good evening, sir. Good evening. And Mr. Winkle...
I've just come in I've sat in 40 winks. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Now, sir. Now,
very nice. Thank you, sir.
Would you tell us something about this amazing sleep of yours?
Oh, well, sir, one night I went out into the woods and sat down against a dirty great oak tree. Yes, I ate a cup of that stuff. You know. And then I must have dozed off.
I see. Now, yes. How long did you sleep for?
Does it have to be historically accurate?
Well, no.
Then it was 35 years.
How long, sir?
35 years.
Well, a sleep that lasted that long is absolutely incredible. But tell me, sir, when you woke up, what was the first thing you did?
Well, what would you do if you'd been asleep for 35 years? I'd ashamed.
On our history, let's go back to the very beginnings, right back, in fact, to the primitive life of the cave dwellers. What was it really like in the Stone Age?
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. I say, isn't that a new skin you're wearing?
A lovely bit of fur.
It's the real stuff, too. I get it wholesale, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Been hunting?
Yes, I bagged another bison. Honestly, I'm getting sick of the same old animal.
Yes, you have had rather a bison war, haven't you?
Well, you are an old Paleolithic wag. Still, I wish I could get something else for a change.
Well, Robert, why not try Stone Ridges? They're having a mammoth sale this week.
My dear. Well, come on in and see my cave.
Okay.
I must apologize for the state it's in. I've been doing another mural on the wall.
You and Jock? You old long hair?
Oh, it's my latest. Of course, it's only a crude painting.
So I see.
I call it What the Dinosaur. By the way, I'm sorry it's right cold in here. There's no fire today.
You need a new flint.
Honestly, Charles, I heard that one in the Ice Age.
Well, Robert, I must say you've got a nice cave here.
It's not bad, except for the plumbing. That's positively prehistoric.
Oh, I say, what a lovely set of clubs.
Yes, I made them last week. Trouble is, I never get time to play. Well, Charles, I've got a big surprise for you now.
I have.
It is here. My latest gadget, a radio set.
What is it, then?
I know.
You're 50,000 years ahead of your time.
Yes. Isn't it a marvelous thing? You can actually hear people speaking on it.
Today? What on earth have you heard?
Well, yesterday I listened to the first edition of Mrs. Dale's Diary.
If it were possible for the BBC to have sent a commentator roving through history, I wonder what event he would have covered, especially Cecil Snape.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you from the 16th century, where I'm attending a magnificent banquet, or as the local people here prefer it, an orgy. The wine is flowing freely, and as for the food, well, I've never seen such a blowout. The young men and maidens are scattered about the place. The devil. And I must say, they make you a very amusing sight. I'm not too sure where the BBC has sent me, but I have noticed one...
I see there! Handsome man! Your glass is empty! Let me fill it for you! There!
Thank you. Everybody is so charming and attentive in this place. I drink to my host. And this is Cecil Snape from the house of Lucrezia Borgia, returning you to the studio.
Finally, in this somewhat historic panorama, let's eavesdrop on two of the world's most famous lovers.
Josephine! Where are you, you silly old faggot?
I'm in my boudoir, darling.
It's me, Napoleon.
Like a drop of brandy?
No, not tonight, Josephine.
Tell me, why are you so late, my
love? I got held up at Waterloo.
Napoleon, what's the matter? Have you lost your wallet?
You old boiler. I always keep me hand in me jacket. Well, have you missed me?
Of course I have, my sweet.
Good. Then let's... Ooh. Here, just a minute, hello. Look what I found.
Something the matter, my beloved?
Yes, there is, Josephine. What are these men's boots doing in your boudoir?
Oh, those. They're Wellingtons.
Well, there you are. That's all from Beyond Our Ken for the present. We would like to thank the many, many listeners who sent us those delightful closing thoughts. And if we didn't happen to use yours yet, well, we hope to be back sometime in the near future. However, our final thought in this series comes from a listener in Cardiff who says, as your closing thoughts are always so good, why don't listeners write the rest of the show?
Over my dead body.
Well, no one's indispensable. Good night. You might have been listening to what I've just missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Janet Waters, The Hornet, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The incidental music for the series was by Edwin Braden, script and lyrics by Eric Merriman. Your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show was produced by Jake Spratt.